play with both of your babies this weekend.
I get to play with my baby every weekend.
I know, but like, I don't get to do that, so it was nice that I got to do that.
You're more than welcome to keep our baby for
it.
A weekend.
Any
weekend
you want. I told your wife I would.
Are you secretly, like, stealing children?
No! But I'm like the...
Are you the lady in Hansel and Gretel that, like, has the house made of candy and lures all the kids in? Is that what...
No.
Is that the right story? Is that how Hansel and Gretel?
Okay, I can't find it. Just move on.
All right.
We already have, don't worry.
Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How we doing, Patrick?
And Katie Phillips.
Hi, Patrick.
On her phone.
No, I was looking up something.
Such a millennial. Tell you what. Am I right?
I'm so not.
Ah, wow.
Can I get a shout out from all my non-millennial peeps? Yeah.
Gosh.
Merry Christmas. So we are recording pre-Christmas, but this is released post-Christmas.
Yeah. It's released within the actual 12 days of Christmas.
Correct. What day are
Katie's
we
Katie's showing
here?
Off that she's actually been listening when I've been talking.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
Oh.
Okay. Okay.
What are we holding on to? Katie's doing math. Look out.
That would be the 6th day of Christmas.
What did our true love bring?
The 6th day of Christmas my true love gave to me. 6.
Geese of laying.
Geese of laying.
Yeah. Geese of laying.
Geese of laying.
Geese of laying.
Geese of laying. Not geese of. They're not from laying.
Whatever. Happy 6th day of Christmas.
Happy
geese day.
Happy 6th day of Christmas.
Have a goose egg for breakfast.
Yeah, almost the new year.
Or perhaps a goose for dinner.
We are very close to.
Do people still eat geese? Is that still a thing that people do?
I'm sure somebody eats geese.
Ah, there was a movie. Oh, nope. Show. Bless this mess. Nope.
Nope.
Okay, moving on.
Good story.
Almost 2020, and we had this debate.
Hey, yeah.
2020, is that the start of the decade, end of the decade?
End.
No, you say start.
Yeah.
You said
I
start.
Mean, oh yeah,
Katie just agreed with me. On the record, Katie has agreed with me. Thank you.
You're wrong. You're wrong.
I'm not wrong. There was no year end. Zero. It's different.
It's a start.
It's different.
2019 is
it's
the end.
It's different than your age. Because when you're born, you are considered 0 years old.
Listeners, okay. We need you to write in.
Move on.
There was just because I know one. You side with
this
me.
This is going to be a three-parter series here on what decade are we in here?
2019 ends. 2020 begins.
Here we are. The roaring 20s back again.
Yikes.
No, we're not okay. Flapping here.
Oof. And other things that we should never repeat ever.
Flappers. Like flappers.
Yeah, we knew what you meant. That doesn't mean it needs to be said over and over and over.
All right, let's move on here. We got some news.
What?
News.
No. Do.
There we go.
I'm stuck.
Yeah.
No.
It's been a long day here, evidently, here in the Lord of Life team. Beyond Sunday podcast is struggling.
And coffee now.
Have you ever been stuck in traffic?
Occasionally. My commute is pretty rough.
Yeah,
I gotta
your
be honest.
Commute is like 3 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
Katie, how long is your daily commute?
40 to 45.
Yeah, I'm about 30, 35 minutes. We live in Houston, which is known for traffic, or in
sure.
The Houston area.
Right.
Yes. Have you ever had to deal with a detour, a road closure?
Sure.
And then a detour.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's miserable,
wow.
Right?
It makes me panic because then I feel like I don't know where I'm going.
There's signs.
Well, I know.
And also we live in the year, currently 2019.
About to be 2020.
Your phone
Would you
can
just tell
you.
Your story?
Your phone can tell you anywhere you're going.
Yes. I like detours. I take them as like a little adventure.
Well, British officials closed down a 65-foot-long road closure to do some maintenance work for their sewer system.
65
sure.
Foot long. That's
65,
not very long.
Yeah, it's
not very
long.
Not very long. But they created a 41-mile detour to get around that 65-mile closure.
65-foot.
65-foot. 65-foot closure, yes.
Well, no,
there's
wait.
Like 5,007
Are these British
feet?
Because British feet are different than, you know, standard.
The normal feet.
It's metric system. You know, it's different.
Yeah. You know, the thing I have here is in feet and miles, not, I don't know, meters and kilometers.
Yeah.
That nobody would... I wouldn't even know what it's talking about.
it's not even worth talking
it's
about.
It's 35 meters. Kilometers. How long is that? Who knows?
3 feet, 3 inches. 39 inches.
Oh, 3 inches. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. New story.
So, do we know why for a 65-foot?
Yes. Yeah. So, it has to be that long because if you created a detour, it has to be suitable for the amount of traffic that would normally cross on the road.
Sure.
So if it's like a freeway, you can't just send it through a neighborhood type of thing.
The people in the neighborhood would be pretty angry.
That is correct. It does say If you're normally driving down this road, the to travel the 65-foot-long road closure would take you 2 seconds. On the 30-mile-per-hour speed limit, the 41-mile detour will take you an hour. So.
Oh, my goodness. Is there another way to go?
There are, sure.
You can stay home.
Yeah. I mean, you can cut through. Like, if the detour takes you down major streets, you can cut through neighborhoods or back streets.
Yeah.
But it can't. The detour cannot lead you through neighborhoods. Type of things. Huh. They do say that they expect that most people will not completely follow the detour. Although that would be funny, just some person driving around being like, I know I've got to be there soon, right?
It would be Katie.
You're panicking. This is taking so long.
This isn't right.
Did I miss the sign for the detour? Do
all
I turn around?
The signs keep telling you, are they wrong? Are the signs wrong? Totally.
Well, the signs point backwards because you're driving on the other side of the road. So when you see a sign pointing left, you're actually turning right.
That's not how it works.
It sounded off.
But you were with me for a minute.
I kind of was. I was like, wait. And then I was imagining, like, if I look at my rearview mirror, the sign's going the opposite direction.
Sure. Because people are notorious for posting directional signs behind you. So you need to see them in your mirror.
Check it by looking in my rearview mirror.
Okay.
Don't even acknowledge what's happening. All right, today on the podcast, we are going to go over some feel-good news.
Oh, my favorite.
Some news that will hopefully warm the heart during a potentially cool time of year.
It's cool today.
Not here in Texas, but it's coolish today. Coolish.
I wore a sweater.
Yeah, it's a light day.
A
light sweater.
It's sweater weather.
The day that this is coming out, probably not. It's probably 85 degrees.
Yeah. You could be listening to this around the pool.
All right.
All right, so here we go. Man who grew up poor gives $12,000 in toys to low-income kids in town where he lived.
That's nice.
There's a Virginia man with vivid memories of growing up poor in the town of Harrisburg in the Shenandoah Valley. Came back over the weekend with a 26-foot truck packed with $12,000 worth of toys.
I like it.
How many toys are $12,000?
That is a good question. I do not have that information.
Because there are some toys where that'd be like 12 things.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo Switches or whatever.
$20 a kid or $20 a toy to $50 a toy. I mean,
yeah. So he went to the Harris Gardens Apartments, a low-income Section 8 complex in Harrisburg, where he once lived, with this truck to pass out toys. So you see these kids, you hand them a baby doll or Nerf gun or bicycle, two little boys throwing a football, and you can't put a price on the feeling that gives you. Adam Armstrong said, I consider myself very blessed.
Huh.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Huh? It's pretty sweet to do that.
Yeah.
I like it.
What do you think? Would you want to do that if you had $12,000? Became wealthy here? Probably not through church work, but maybe through other means. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think of Ellen. Ellen just had her Three Nights of Ellen's Greatest Night of Giveaways.
Three Nights of Ellen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So not only was she doing the 12 Days of Christmas during her show at the
regular
time. Which
has not happened yet, right? She's doing that, like, before Christmas.
She did it before Christmas.
Right.
Wow.
So it's not the actual 12 Days of Christmas.
Thanks a lot.
Calling you out, Ellen.
Anyway, right. So not only
also,
was she
ABC
giving
family,
her
Chick-fil-A,
audience
everybody,
stuff, she ended up having three nights in a row of her Greatest Night of Giveaways to where, like, she'd find a family, like, the mom had passed away and, like, left two daughters or whatever, and, like, she'd end up pulling in a car full of toys for them for Christmas, and then she'd ask them to come to the show, and then she's like, oh, and I paid off your mortgage. And I'm like, oh, like, that is so awesome.
It's a nice story.
Yeah. Armstrong says, I remember Harrisburg being we're moving on. I remember Harrisburg being a friendly small town. I remember government housing and a lot of poverty, crimes, drugs, violence, and things of that nature. And every time I see kids, I know it's not their fault where they are.
Mm.
So I wanted to give back here. So I think that is a powerful thing. And a reminder, I've, you know, kids can't necessarily control their family situation.
Yeah.
And so this is a good way to do that. The manager of the Harris Gardens apartment complex, Sarah Lewis Weeks, said. It wasn't like stuffed animals. He was giving away bikes, remote control cards, real Barbie dolls, not dollar store Barbie dolls. Mm-hmm. He didn't miss anybody. His heart was truly in this.
A little judgy of the dollar store Barbie doll there, don't you think? It seems like...
You know, real Barbie doll is like a prized thing, though, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never had a Barbie doll.
Are there like dollar store knockoffs? Is that
Thing?
Okay. Yeah.
And I mean, they fall apart real easy.
Oh, okay.
There's, I do know that there's dollar store like, G.I. Joe. Mm-hmm. You know,
the,
probably like Army Man kind of thing.
What's the dollar store Barbie called? Like Betty or... Like,
no, I don't know that it has a name.
Well, because it can't be Barbie.
Doll. Probably doll. I don't remember. I don't know.
Yeah, it probably does have a generic
like
name.
The BB doll. Or,
yes.
Yeah.
Or Barbie doll. That'd be fine. It's just like, Barbie.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be just a couple, like, stuffed animals. Not, and you get a bike, and you get a bike, and you get a bike. It was like Oprah for little kids, said Lewis Weeks. Yeah, I think it's pretty sweet.
Everybody gets a bike. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's a really sweet thing. You know, good, and also, you know, a good way to remember that, the, you know, the people around us have needs, and this is a good way to meet some needs. Mm-hmm.
Just, and you don't have to have $12,000 to make a difference.
For sure.
You can, you
but
know.
If you have $12,000.
Yeah, if you do.
You can make a,
yeah. I mean, you can make a lot of differences.
Sure. Yeah, but not everybody has that resources available, right. But everybody, you know, could potentially buy a gift for, you know, an angel tree type thing.
Sure.
Or to
like
their
Toys for Tots does the toy drive mm-hmm. every Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whatever, yeah.
All right, let's move on to another feel-good story here.
I'm already warm and fuzzy. This is great.
Oh, you feel good? Oh, yes. All right, is there a family in your neighborhood that has excessive amounts of Christmas lights?
I live pretty close to a neighborhood right next to the church that has an excessive amount of Christmas. I mean, they go all out right across the street.
There's a whole street next to our church that has excessive amounts of Christmas lights.
A thing of legend here in the Woodlands area.
Okay, so do y'all watch the Great Christmas Light Fight?
No.
That's okay.
Are any of them your neighbors?
The first season they were on, I believe that that's the season that the house that we have up in town.
You have a house up in town?
Not us. The family that lives there. They were on the Great Christmas Light Bike.
Wow. Okay.
That took a while to get to that place.
I think we just took a 41-mile detour to get to the end of that story. I don't know what happened.
Okay.
2 seconds.
So in your area that you live, a family was on the Great Christmas Light Fight.
Yes.
So the short version is, yes, we have a house with excessive Christmas lights in our neighborhood.
Yes,
and I assume
really cool.
The Great Christmas Light Fight has a lot of lights.
Yes,
they're,
it does.
They're going
it's a fight.
Yeah, it's like they pick four families and they go visit their homes and see their Christmas lights.
In my neighborhood, we have awards that go out from like the HOA for people's Christmas lights. One of the lights is called the Griswold Award for an excessively decorated house. It is my life goal to be on the committee to award Christmas lights.
Do you want to win the award?
No, I don't care about that. I want to judge the house with Christmas lights.
Okay. Yes,
I do that often. I like to drive around. Sometimes Timmy will fall asleep on our way home, and I'll drive through the neighborhood looking at the Christmas lights. As
judging
they light
them
out,
silently.
I'd be like, ooh, no, that's not good. I'd be like, ooh, why'd you even bother?
You could win. You could win.
Yeah. But anyway, in Florida here, a Christmas miracle occurred, according to a Florida mom.
A Christmas miracle.
Christmas miracle. Yes, this is Marisabel Figueroa Lopez. It says, lights and music on her neighbor's elaborate holiday display helped her nonverbal daughter with autism start to speak out for the very first time.
Huh.
Aww.
All right.
Yes.
I'm listening.
Yes, 13-year-old daughter Caitlin was diagnosed with autism at 3 years old, and doctors said she'd never speak.
Yep.
Every year, Caitlin spends callous hours in silence under the lights of her neighbor, Don Weaver's incredible display. So I did watch a video on this in the news article. He has an incredible display. It's like set to music.
Sure.
It's got a ton of lights. It's so bright up. And in the video, Caitlin's there in a little lawn chair just sitting in the lights, just looking around.
Aww.
Last week, something changed. Caitlin started to describe the decorations. And then she jumped up and said, Santa is coming. Santa is coming, said Figueroa Lopez. So that's pretty powerful. You know, nonverbal girl speaks for the very first time to talk about Christmas due to the power of these lights. Mom says here, I was trying to catch my breath because it was the very first time that I've ever heard my daughter's voice.
Aww. And she's 3 or 4? 3?
She's 13.
13. I
she's
thought
not
said 3.
Yes.
I'm gonna. Since she was 3.
She's,
I'm gonna sound like the Grinch here.
Let's hear it.
I love that this girl is learning how to talk. I love that her mom's having an emotional connection. I question whether or not the lights were the cause of this. Like, I understand, like, she was with the lights when it happened, but I don't know that we need to start saying, okay, well, now we need to put any nonverbal child under a batch of, you know, huge house of Christmas lights, and that's going to, like, I don't think the lights, perhaps, were the miracle in this particular story. Like, I think it's wonderful that she's able to talk. I don't want to sound completely heartless, just a little heartless.
I think based on the story, though, it does say, you know, she sits under the lights every year.
Sure.
She started to describe the lights. She talked about Santa.
I mean, the lights seem to be the reason that, the thing about which she started to talk.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily like magic Christmas lights.
Right.
You know?
It's not like I'm like the pattern of the lights are like coalescing with the nerve waves in my brain or something.
Right.
And suddenly I can speak again. Like, I don't think that's what's happening here. No. I think this just happened. It could have been anything.
Right.
This just happened to be the thing
she was on. That excited that she could
Something changed in her.
And she's 13, right? I mean, so she's been working on this for 10 years. So, I mean, there's any... She could have been in the grocery store and started talking about this, too, but she happened to be sitting under Christmas lights.
To hear her speak, it just
gives me hope. The miracle is that she started talking. Yeah, that's what we rejoice for.
To hear her speak, it just gives me hope.
Lopez says,
it's 2 to 3 words. Tomorrow could be a sentence. A year from now could be a whole conversation.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
hopefully about more than just Christmas lights.
Hopefully.
For the mom's sake.
For the mom's sake, yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, for probably in this situation, they'll take a conversation about Christmas lights. You know?
Yeah,
I think that's
absolutely
a powerful thing. Ellen DeGeneres caught wind of Caitlin's Christmas miracle and invited her and her mom to the show.
Did they?
So bringing it full circle. There you go.
Aww.
Yeah.
I love Ellen.
So there you go.
Now,
you can, if you're judging the gaudy Christmas lights in your neighborhood, think maybe it's inspiring somebody.
Yeah.
I hope that it is.
Yeah, I think it's pretty sweet.
I really love Christmas lights. I don't judge the gaudiness. I'm like, man, I envy these people who have the time and the patience and the...
Electrical bill
to be able to afford it.
So the family up where we live, they let you get out of your car and you get to walk through their whole front yard display and go see everything. It's pretty neat.
That's pretty exciting.
And they have like a Santa sleigh they let you take pictures in and all kinds of stuff. We never see them. They're like locked up in their house.
Sure.
Probably like, what?
As would I be. Yeah.
So are they letting you or are they just like...
No, they are.
We can't find it anymore.
They are.
Okay. Well, you guys can do that next year.
Nope.
You could be on the Great Christmas Light Fight.
Nope.
Ooh, yeah.
Nope. We don't even have any lights up this year.
Okay. Yeah.
We failed at that.
It's not too late. Yeah, I mean, as of release, it's a little late.
Probably.
But
if you're putting your lights up now, I think your neighbor's going to be like, Yeah, we just have a light up Santa Darth Vader, which I think we've talked about.
Yes, we have.
All right. Last story here. After an Arizona principal found out his students were skipping school because
after
they didn't...
After what?
Arizona principal
found
out his students were skipping school because they didn't have clean clothes, he decided to tackle the problem by adding a laundry room to the school. Yeah, so this is... Maya High School is an alternative high school. We serve a population that struggles... that struggled in other school settings. So this is Principal John Anderson speaking. So this is students that could not... come to school with clean clothes, so they saw the problem and met it head on and said, well, you can do laundry here.
Yeah, that's great.
Over 30% of our students are categorized as homeless. They may have slept in a park or slept on a friend's floor or couch on a nightly basis. So what do you think about this, the idea of schools adding resources like this for children?
I love it.
Yeah.
This is what community should be about, right? I mean, this is... You know, we can't fix everything, but the school can say, hey, we want to give you the best opportunity that we can for you to be successful while you're in our building. And if that means giving you a place to do your laundry, then we give you a place to do your laundry. In the same way that we say, if you need help, reading during a test, then we give you someone who helps you read during a test. Or if you need extra time to do this, and, that's what school's about, is giving you the opportunity to succeed.
And again, I think it takes it, like...
30% of their students are categorized as homeless.
I mean, when you think of a number like that, you think, how am I going to serve 30% of our students?
Yeah.
Well, this is a great way that's, financially a school could handle that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Adding washers and dryers. Could they afford to house 30% of their children? Probably not.
Yeah.
But they could afford to make a large laundry room. Mm-hmm. And they could probably, they're probably getting families to donate laundry detergent and, all of that kind of stuff, It's something manageable.
And probably for most students, Katie, you have an education background here. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with kids for a long, long time. And Pastor David has also worked with kids and has a camp background. You can say, like, a lot of kids, when they have behavioral issues, there are outside factors that are driving a lot of those behavioral issues. And, if they're not meeting their basic needs, expecting them to come into a classroom to be able to focus, be able to learn, be able to engage with the teacher, with their fellow students, it's just not feasible. Mm-hmm. And so instead of punishing a student, this is saying, like, what is the driving factor behind some of those things?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Whether that's hunger, whether that's... thirst, whether that's a need for love and attention from an adult figure, and now it's here, they're seeing a need of, our kids just need to do their laundry.
Mm-hmm.
A former Maya student and now employee, Andrea Della Torre, says, I relate to a lot of them. I come from a homeless background, sleeping in abandoned buildings, having no clothes, watching the same pair of clothes every single day, but coming to school smelling. Kids just don't want to be by you. They're talking about you, and it's really hard to focus on your education when you're focused on your own self-esteem.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's pretty right on. And so I think anybody who says a kid, you know, somebody's acting up in a store, you know, in public, maybe think there could be a driving factor behind mm-hmm. that. That's not just a kid being bratty. Mm-hmm. And it could be. Some kids are kids can be bratty,
yes, right.
But there could be things going on that yep. we are unaware of. So for Anderson, the situation was spurred because he was talking to a student in one of his class who was not able to do laundry. So Anderson was emotional in this speech. He said, I thought to myself, here's this young man who's coming to school smelling like cat urine, knowing that as a high school student, a teenager, he just wants his diploma so bad that he's willing to do that. It tore me up, and I was the final kicker to seek out getting a student access laundry room in our building. You know, so seeing kids that are wanting to break free from the patterns that they've yep. seen in their mm-hmm. family history or in their the past couple of years for themselves and saying, man, I'll go to school smelling awful because I'd rather do that. You know, that's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you think? Should this is something more schools should be engaging in?
I don't know about this specifically. I think that schools need to be engaging in mm-hmm. new and creative ways to support their students and their families.
Yeah.
I don't know that every school needs to have a laundry room.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of the places where there is no single fix to a mm-hmm. to large problem, right? Every school needs to be thinking about how do we need to meet the needs that our community mm-hmm. is facing right now. Because yeah. maybe for another community, it's not homelessness. It's, you know, I don't know, something else.
Sure.
Maybe it's drug use in the home, or maybe it's you know a culture around alcohol abuse within their students, or whatever that might be. And so schools just need to be thinking creatively about how can we support our families and our students in their yeah. in their environment where they are.
And I think for those of us that have laundry access in the home, sometimes we take that as something for granted. Yeah. I lived in a you know apartments most of my life, and some of the apartments I lived in just didn't have laundry hookups. Mm-hmm. You know, you couldn't even do mm-hmm. laundry in your own home. If you had a washer and dryer, there potentially may have been a laundry you know facility attached to the apartment.
Right.
That takes time. It takes more money than you'd think would cost, or sometimes you have to go to the laundromat, and mm-hmm. that takes time and money that again, more than you think it would. You know, doing laundry in a laundromat is probably more expensive than doing it in your own home.
Right.
So, I mean, like, it's, you know, a poor person is paying more to the same serving you do.
Yep.
You know, but it's, but so it's not just an easy fix to yep. solve this problem mm-hmm. that a student can just easily resolve. Mm-hmm. So I agree. I think every community center, whether that be church or school, has you know somewhat of an obligation and a duty to see what are the needs of our community and how can we meet them.
Yep.
One of the things we do here at Lord of Life, you know, help meet students' needs is we do a program called Buddy Backpacks through mm-hmm. our food bank here, where our congregation donates food, we buy food, and then our youth sort that food into backpacks so that students can come to school and get make breakfast and lunch for you know at school. But during the weekend, they weren't able to necessarily have the same resources that a school can give. And so this is a way the school officers can send home food for a weekend for kids mm-hmm. that they can have during that time period. Mm-hmm. So they can come back. And if your kid is hungry, they're not going to be able to pay attention to learn in class.
Yep. Yep.
They're going to be acting out.
For sure.
Kid is in dirty clothes. They're not going to be able to pay attention in school. It's just not a possibility. Mm-hmm. So it's helping kids take away those things that they need in order to get there. Yeah, so I think that's good. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so good work, Arizona.
Yeah. That's some of our feel-good news to end the year.
Yeah, I like ending the year on a high note.
Yes.
Do you have big New Year's Eve plans?
We have a get-together at our house every year for New Year's Eve.
Hold hands? Talk about your year? What your resolutions are?
Yeah. No.
Fireworks?
We just have friends. Yes. So my husband has started a new thing where he does his own fireworks display now in our cul-de-sac.
So he doesn't do Christmas lights, but we're now setting off pyrotechnics.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
Pretty much.
That's exciting. Pastor David, do you have big New Year's Eve plans?
We'll be with family up in Ohio, Michigan area, so I don't know. We'll see what they've got in store for us. But as of release, it's not too late. You could still come to Lord of Life. We have a big bash happening here.
Yeah.
We've got a family-friendly comedian coming. Carrie Pomarelli is her name, and tickets will still be available. You can check out the Lord of Life website for that. But you're looking for something to do on New Year's Eve, and you're in the greater Houston area. Come on by.
Yeah. So, yeah, check us out on the website. You'll
find Patrick, are you doing something?
I am. I will be.
I knew Patrick was just digging. He just wanted
to
talk.
Yeah, I just wanted
to. Are you going to putting Timmy to bed?
No, I won't. This is.
I have big New Year's Eve plans to put my son to bed.
This is a better story because this one's about me. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I listened to y'all New Year's Eve plan.
Right?
Now we get to the real star of the show. Uh-huh. I will be in Big Bend National Park camping. For the last couple years, our college students have a trip that takes place over New Year's. And so this year, we're going camping together, have a little retreat up there. So that's where I will be.
Down there. Down
I bet
there.
You, anyway, over you there. Can't do fireworks there because it's a national
you cannot.
Park.
You actually can't have a fire.
No.
So, you know, it's a burn ban right now. Yeah, so I will be living in a tent, freezing probably.
In the dark at night, you can't have a fire.
Well, lanterns, you know, those things exist, yeah.
Burn Band sounds like an album name.
Yeah, we could make one here.
I'm trying to think what the name of the band would be that performed performed the album Burn Band.
But I don't know.
I'll have to think about that.
All right, well, this has been a great year for podcasting. And we look forward to all the things that are coming your way in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Which is the beginning of the new decade.
Yes.
End of the last decade.
The roaring 20s. Here we go.
11 to 20.
Where can you find us?
Hey, if you liked what you heard today or any time throughout this past year, we'd love if you had the opportunity to share this with friends and family all over the place. Help take Beyond Sunday beyond where we are right now. So you can find us at beyondsundaypodcast.com. And, of course, you can find us wherever elegantly dressed New Year's Eve-themed podcasts are available.
Yes, I'm wearing a tux.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no evidence to the contrary.
And
so
Big
Ben. Ben.
While he's recording this right now, he's wearing a tuxedo.
I wear a tux every day here, Katie, okay? You know?
That's right. Right. Every day is black tie optional in Fort of Life.
All right, well, Happy New Year, everyone. We will see you
in 2020.
That's pretty exciting, yeah.